This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts with straight talk on social media. And who doesn't need to be constantly learning about social media, as they do change the goalposts often? Are you a do-it-yourselfer when it comes to handling your own marketing campaign for the business? Where do you start? What's the best way to target your audience? How do you set up ads for Facebook that are going to really work? Well, it can become frustrating very fast, and so many people end up throwing in the towel. And in this episode, Christina Modesti from Mode Marketing Agency outlines simple steps to point you on the right track. As she explains, you don't win or lose in marketing and advertising. You win or learn. Smart, huh? Keep in mind that Christina's husband owns a shop, so she does have a great perspective on our industry. Thanks to our partners Apex and Shopware for providing you this episode. Now imagine walking into a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 service bays, lifts, and vehicles where you can see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use them in real time. Well, welcome to the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. I will be there. Hope to see you. Register now at aapexshow.com. Hey, digital communication makes it easy for your customers to understand the value that you're providing when you fix their car. You will feel appreciated. Your staff will feel appreciated. And most importantly, you'll sell the work to pay the bills. Ka-ching. On the web at getshopware.com. Hey, head to my website, remarkableresults.biz. Find more episodes on social media marketing. Use the podcast as your free webinar service. So much to learn. Hey, I'm honored and a warm welcome to Christina Modesti. Hello, Christina.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Mode Marketing Agency. You're all about marketing and what, social media stuff, right?
Yeah, and Facebook and Instagram ads, all that good stuff.
Well, we haven't had a discussion like that here on the show in a while. Christina and I have had a chance to chat, you know, before doing the show. She's going to talk about iOS 14 changes, magnetic ad creative that converts, that's the big word, converts, target ideal customers, the type of ads that work. And we all need help with that. And sometimes we're do-it-yourselfers and we think we could really get it right. And we try things, but we really don't know what great success we have. Because in my opinion, just my opinion, it's so tough to find and get all this stuff on Facebook. How did my ad do? What's going on with it? And I find it is a specialty. You almost need to have a professional to help you.
I agree.
Well, that's what you do for a living. ModeMarketingUSA.com. By the way, Christina's husband's a shop owner.
Yes, he runs his family's business in Culver City, California.
How cool is that? And I've had him on the show before. So all these iOS 14 changes. Now, I'm not an Apple person, so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be clueless, but you know, 50% or more of the world is Apple. So what's going on with that?
Basically, in a nutshell, it is a little bit of data wars. So essentially, the big tech giants have come to a disagreement over who owns whose information, shall we say. And essentially, now you are going to have the opportunity, if you are an Apple user, when you log in and you refresh one of your apps, if they update, you can go in now and you will see a pop-up screen that is going to ask you if you want to provide permission for them to track you. And the preliminary results, because this is still new, is that most people are opting out. They are saying, no, of course, I don't want to be tracked. That doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to be tracked. It doesn't necessarily mean you won't be seeing ads. You won't see ads that are specific to you because the information that you're providing through your browsing is not being collected anymore. But the information is still there and you are still going to see ads. So it's a way to tend to protect people from having their information collected and tracked. But on the other hand, it's still happening. So with regards to ads and Facebook and Instagram advertising, it does affect it in retargeting and pixel use. But as far as the user is concerned, it doesn't change much.
It's exciting in one way that I don't want to be tracked because who owns the data and all this Big Brother stuff. However, Apple will have that data. Am I right? They'll have it. Even though it says I don't want to be tracked, Apple's still going to know enough about you that won't get passed over to Facebook as an example. And could Apple turn around and just now sell that to someone?
Yes. Essentially, yes.
That's the whole thing about, you know, the vehicle and who owns the data and the telematics and where you've been and all that. I mean, there's this big discussion going on in our industry. And okay, so Apple's kind of leading the charge by saying, do you really own the data? And you have to opt in or out. And that's iOS 14. Now, every person who owns an Apple phone has that new version, iOS 14?
Yes. If they update their operating system, they will be right in there and they will see the next time they log into their apps, that option, any kind of Apple app.
So if I'm a shop owner and I'm on Facebook and I want to target whatever I want to target, and I don't want to say the wrong words here because I'm not an expert, is this going to prevent me from getting to my to the right target?
Not necessarily. Facebook still collects a lot of data with the people who visit the platform. When you go on Facebook and you're watching funny cat videos or just interacting with your friends and family, or if you do it for business, all your actions and all your clicks and all your comments are being tracked by Facebook. So anything you do on their platform is still collected. It's when you step off their platform onto websites and those people will have pixels on their websites that collect data. That is what is affected. Not your behavior on the Facebook platform. It's your behavior off the Facebook platform that's collected by the pixel.
How about Godfather Google? Is this affecting them?
Possibly. It is, except that Google has their own tracking. They have their analytics and they just came out with a new tags manager, which is something brand new to those of us who are in marketing and advertising. We have to learn this new system. And basically we are using that as the pixel that we used to use with Facebook, which we'll continue to use, and they can work in tandem as well to collect data on both ends. So we can verify results that are collected by the pixel, which are now a bit less accurate than they used to be because of the iOS 14 update. But we can use the Google Analytics at the same time to come on the back end and verify results so we can track conversions and all that good stuff.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for the update. Is there anything else we need to know to be concerned or worried about for this Facebook thing?
I think as an advertiser and representing clients who also advertise on the Facebook platform, I would encourage people to not worry about opting out. Your information is still being collected whether you opt out or not. So opting in will actually give you a better experience on the platform because you will then be shown advertisements. It's not like you're not going to be shown advertisements. You definitely will. But if you don't opt out, you'll be shown advertisements that are relevant to you that you may actually even enjoy. So by opting out, you're not stopping ads from showing up in your feed. You just might see ads that have absolutely nothing to do with anything you're interested in.
Well, that's so interesting. So don't opt out so you can have this wonderful experience, but then there's this tech war going on over here. I'm probably as confused right now as I was 8 minutes ago, but okay, I accept. And since I'm not an Apple person, I guess maybe that's why I have this attitude.
And things are changing every day, and it's new for us too, and we're adapting and pivoting, and I just choose to look at it as glass half full and look at the silver linings. And the nice thing about it is that it is the grand equalizer. Every advertiser on Facebook are being affected by this equally. So nobody has the upper hand. Nobody's getting more data than anybody else. We all have the same groundwork to play with. And I think that's kind of encouraging because if anyone's going to be affected, we're all going to be affected together.
Okay. I love it. Glass half full. Let's talk about Facebook ads and how they could possibly complement a direct mail campaign?
Lots of businesses love to run direct mail campaigns, especially those that are a local business, brick and mortar. It's a great way to reach out and saturate your target market, the radius around your business, and get in some new cold leads, new cold clients. But with Facebook advertising, it can be a complement in that you can use the same or similar targeting with your advertising on the Facebook and Instagram platforms that you're using in your direct mail campaigns. So you can use the same radius, the same area, and you can even choose different targeting that's even more specific on the Facebook platform. But the nice thing is when you do these two things together, they complement each other because you're kind of giving it a 1-2 punch. So people will see your direct mail flyer in their mailbox. They'll see your branding, your logo, your offers, maybe pictures of you and your location. And then when they're on Facebook and just scrolling and interacting with their friends and family, they might see a relevant ad that connects with your direct mail flyer, and they'll see again your logo. They'll see more information about your offer. And at the same time, they can click through to your Facebook business page and learn more about you. It's almost like a full digital experience. It goes from offline to online in a really unique way if you combine them together. So I always say they complement each other because you can't be too present in front of your ideal clients, right? You want to be seen as often as possible so that when they have the need, you are right there.
Do millennials like to get mail?
Well, I can't speak for all millennials. I'm not a millennial, but I would say that generally speaking, most millennials are into more digital, less analog forms of advertising and just doing commerce in general. Anything that's quick, easy, the least amount of actions on their part, anything that's very, very simple is what I think they're attracted to. So anything that you can do that's more digital, I think is always going to be a win with that particular generation.
Someone told me recently that millennials don't get a lot of mail, so that if you put a beautiful postcard, large card from your shop in front of them, say, oh, I got mail, look at this. And then I love your piece, it's a bookend. You've got something in their hand, something visual, something that they could look at for a bit. It's not a flash Facebook scroll thing. And then when they see a complimenting piece or story, as you say, on Facebook, it like, I think you said, I don't know if you said that word, cements, but it's brand building.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How cool is that? Magnetic creative ads. Any idea on how to create something that really, attracts an audience, or you can get that extra eye, longer than 5 or 6 seconds?
Usually some of our best used graphics and creative that we like to use in ads on Facebook and Instagram, because it is a social platform and you want to be social. You want to help people stop their scroll. You don't want to be so obvious as an advertisement that people just turn a blind eye and scroll right past. So some of the fun things that we like to do, if you use still photos, have them be personal, have the photo look like there's some kind of action in it. If it's a high five, if it's someone laughing, if it's someone jumping, or just having an action in a still photo is really captivating and helps stop the scroll because people are thinking, what's going on there? I want to figure that out. And then something else that works really well is video, any kind of motion, even if it's a little graphic that is doing some kind of movement, or of course, a regular video. And I love to tell clients, you don't have to have the most polished, edited, produced video out there for people to want to stop and watch it. In fact, raw video, something that is really more candid, looks kind of not produced, more amateurish even, it really captures people's attention. They can relate to it. It looks like something they would put out. And it also looks like something someone in their feed might put on Facebook. So they're going to stop and watch it, even though it technically is an ad.
Raw and real, I like that. Your clients, what is it taking to move them to realize that videos, they can do it?
Well, I would say the first thing with regards to video in particular is the fear of getting in front of the camera. I think that's probably the hardest part. Everyone's self-conscious, aren't we? And we're afraid of being judged. And putting yourself out there on social media is a very vulnerable thing to do. But I love working with clients and getting them to see the value in putting video out there. And sometimes it's just a matter of pushing past those fears, maybe some insecurities, and getting that confidence to know that by doing that, you are benefiting your business. You are helping customers and potential clients, prospects, develop that know, like, and trust that they need in order to feel connected to you and that they trust you. Especially in the automotive industry, I think trust is a huge component that is necessary for long-term happy relationships with clients that come back to you again and again. And how do you do that without meeting people for the first time? If you send out an advertisement, whether it's a direct mail flyer or a Facebook or Instagram ad, you're asking a lot of someone to trust you. There's a lot of that in that industry, just from the history, right? And so in order to be able to overcome that, video and any kind of personal imagery is really, really powerful. And I do think that that new millennial or even the Gen Z coming up, they are really connected to being able to feel like they trust someone or that they know someone or they can develop a relationship online digitally before they actually do meet somebody in person. And I would say my generation and above is probably a little bit different. We really value that face-to-face interaction and that's where we build trust. But there's a whole lot of people, especially this past year, who have gotten really used to digital interaction. And so anything that you can do that will build that, I think helps you overcome that fear of getting in front of the camera when you see the value of what it can do for your business.
I like what you just said, because I think we all could relate, Christina, to I've never been on a Zoom call until COVID. And then I've never been on so many that I'm almost in Zoom burnout. Well, if you can take what you did and learned from your experience being on a Zoom meeting and turn it into, you know, a selfie video, what's going on in the shop, one of our techs, long-term techs, just had a baby. I mean, we're working on a real special vehicle. Your husband, Nick, from Modesti's, does he do this? Have you encouraged and helped him get video going?
Yes. Last year, when everything happened and we really needed to encourage people to come back in, to feel safe, especially with everything going on, we were an essential business. So we really wanted to help people overcome some of that fear and that hesitation of going out and getting their car worked on. So Nick put his fears aside. He got on video. We have some videos on YouTube that we produced together, and it really went a long way. And I can't tell you how much customer feedback we got that was so appreciative of not just seeing us in person or Nick and the staff there, but also going through some of the protocols that we were doing at the time that helped make them feel more confident about coming in, all the things that they were concerned with. It really addressed those needs. But beyond that, now that things are getting mostly back to normal, being able to get in front of the camera doesn't always have to mean that your face is on camera. And I like to encourage people who are just taking baby steps into this new and uncharted territory of making videos, just don't put yourself on camera yet. You can do some voiceover and showing people, like you said, working on a car, showing them a tour of your shop and your location.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, we just painted and it looks so nice and white and bright, and come in and see it. Yeah. You said something so important, essential, being essential. I want to make a statement that I've yet to make, and you inspired me, that the attitude of essential should never be over. This pause is so that you, my listener, thinks about that. The attitude of essential will never be over. I think the pandemic taught us that we were going to do business differently. We made many changes. Some people have adopted the things that they've done. People have learned to like certain things that we did in changing. There's no doubt that we could literally take the attitude of essential and turn it into a modified business model. And we may stop and say, you know, the Smiths just like the fact that we're you know, cleaning their keys, and we're doing all this post, the things we did in COVID, they want us to continue. Should we ask our customers? You like the fact that we totally cleaned your car every time? Would you like us to continue? Now, you may have to say, well, they want clean and it doesn't matter to them. Well, they've got vaccinations and they don't. But my point is that as much as we're out and enjoying life a little bit easier than we have in the last 15 months, we may want to adopt and adapt some of the things that we learned. The attitude of essential will continue. I thank you for that. Appreciate that. Now, okay, let's move on to a different topic. This was great. Thank you for that great push on video. How am I going to find an ideal customer I want to target on Facebook? I call that stuff up and it's complicated.
Well, it can be done actually really well on Facebook. Facebook has collected all that data over the years, and they have a number of different ways to dial in and zero in on your target customer, your ideal person that you want to see come through your shop doors. And it's as simple as going through the usual targeting that you would probably use for direct mail. So whether that's your demographics, your area, but if you have a business model that caters to a particular type of car, you can target that on Facebook. Makes and models are on there, and it will track the people who have expressed an interest in those types of cars on their feed or through their habits and actions on the platform. So you can absolutely target those people. So it's a great way to zero in.
Carm here. You always see Facebook nudging you to boost post with just one easy click. But is that the best way to use your ad dollars? Keep listening to find out. With registration now open for Apex 2021 in Las Vegas, you can already feel the excitement building for this year's homecoming. Hey, I can't wait to reconnect with all of you in person and share stories of our time apart, both personal and professional. And I also can't wait to sit in on the technical and business management training specifically for you, the service professional. Now, with more than 20 sessions, you'll hear from the best of the best, including John Thornton, who will lead a session on fuel trim diagnostics, and Bob Ward, who will share business sales strategies and design. Make sure to also experience the new Repair Shop HQ and Joe's Garage. It's designed with you in mind. And also, visit the show floor to see many new products and emerging technologies. Keep in mind the dates, November 2nd through the 4th, 2021. Be there. Hope to see you. Register now at aapexshow.com. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now, that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. So I'm a BMW owner, and I'm on Facebook. And no one knows. Facebook doesn't know, but Facebook is testing that I may have stopped and looked at a BMW ad, or I may have visited a BMW social site or something like that. And then that would put me, it would put a check mark somewhere in my private Facebook profile that none of us probably want to look at. And that's how they do it.
Yes. And especially if you like the BMW Facebook business page, they will know that. That has an interest there.
If I want to target someone within a 3 or 4 or 5 mile radius, is there an income thing?
There is. Now, some of the targeting options have changed over the years as Facebook has sought to become a little more protective over certain demographics, because they don't want this to be used for negative reasons, and they don't want people to be excluded for negative reasons. So they have dialed in a few things and changed some things. So if you haven't been in your Facebook Ads Manager in a while and you go in there, you try to run some old ads, you might see some error messages pop up saying your targeting has changed or you have to update it, because they do change it. But as of now, it is one of the most broad, the most diverse, and the most far-reaching ways that you can really dial in and just target your target ideal customers in a way that I don't know that you can do on any other platform.
Yeah, well, so if I'm doing something with the SPCA this weekend, I'm doing an event, and I really want to promote the fact that, you know, we do care about animals. I could literally take a video or a still or a story and then repurpose it out in a targeted audience to animal lovers.
100%. That's a great thing about that. I just think it gives you, the business owner, so many options that you don't have on other platforms to target people in such a unique way. You can really dial in the person you want to respond to the ad and come through and become a customer.
And I could do all of this on my business page.
Yes. Your ads need to be connected and run from your Facebook business page specifically.
Specifically. You can't do it from a private.
From your profile? No.
No, from your profile. So, it's got to be your business page. Okay. And that, of course, doesn't have an offer. I'm not saying, oh, I love dogs, so come in and get a special deal because it's air conditioning season. It's just awareness and brand building.
Exactly. That's what they would call an engagement ad. So we would do that just for brand awareness, just to get your name out in the community, to reach out with maybe some valuable content. You could be teaching something, or you could be, like you said, sharing an event that your business is involved in that sort of garners that goodwill. And again, just building those connections, that know, like, and trust, that will eventually probably lead to becoming a customer, especially if you retarget them later.
You were telling me never boost a post from your Facebook business page. Now, why is that?
There's a couple of disadvantages to that. I see the advantage for a business because, of course, Facebook promotes it all the time. They want you to press that blue button to promote and boost your post at $5 to $10 a day. It seems like a very cheap way to get your name out there. But there are some limitations. So boosting posts does not allow you to collect the same amount of data that you can when you run a regular ad through the Ads Manager. It also is limited on targeting. So it's, in a way, I try not to put it down too much, but I just know that it's not the best way to spend your ad dollars because you're not getting the full value of the dollars you are spending on a boosted post.
But they want you to spend money on boosting a post. It seems like every time I have a post, there's always, it's by default, I think, boost this post, boost this post.
Oh, yeah. They're going to do that all the time. It's a quick and easy way for people to do it, and it's a low barrier to entry into ads. But because just being an advertiser and being comfortable with the Facebook Ads Manager platform, I know it's just not the best use of your dollars. You could take that same $5 to $10 and put it into a regular ad through the Ads Manager and get so much more out of it.
I remember we were talking on the show maybe 5 years ago, spend the $1 or $2, and now we're talking $5 and $10. It was amazing how Facebook one day, and I can't remember, a couple of years ago, went from the minimum you could spend, and I think they maybe doubled or tripled it. Let's talk about money. You know, here I've got this really cool little campaign that I'd like to run. Something really cool is going on in the business. I want to promote it, build my brand. Should I spend $40, $50, $100? Can I get just as much spending $20?
Probably not.
Okay. All right, good. That's what I want to know.
Yes. You're right. The Facebook platform has changed a lot. And I think more than anything, Facebook knows their worth. They know the value of advertising on their platform, and they do charge accordingly, especially nowadays when they know that their targeting is so dialed in and they can really be a benefit to businesses. So typically, I mean, there's a lot of generalizations, but typically I'm looking at normally a $20 to $25 a day minimum for good results when it comes to advertising for a local business, a brick and mortar business, when you are just targeting a specific area and you are looking for that foot traffic to come in. Of course, the sky's the limit. The more you put in, the more you'll get out of it. It really is a machine. It's a robot, essentially, and you're kind of training that robot how to deliver you quality leads by the amount of fuel you give it, which is money.
When you think about what Christina just said, you know, 20 or 25 bucks a day, and say you generated one new cold lead, one like or one individual that came by and says, hey, I saw a Facebook ad, I never knew you guys were here. That's very inexpensive to get a cold lead. And now it's up to you to make them a customer. But yeah, I see that. I get that. So here I'm going to spend some money and some time on Facebook, Christina. And what type of ads are going to work? We've been talking about brand awareness. Now, is that the biggest number one?
I think that's a good place to start. For most businesses, especially when you're advertising to a cold audience, which is what you are primarily looking at when looking at to saturate an area, your target area around your particular business, you want to attract all those cold leads in. And the first call to action you want to do is just have people get to know you. Start building that know, like, and trust so people recognize you, your brand, your marketing, your messaging, all that good stuff. Recognize the people that you put in your ads, maybe the photos and videos that you provide. And then from there, based on the people who view those first ads, the get to know you ads, you can start retargeting them with offers. And those would be specific calls to action that are more direct, a direct sale.
So when they stop, look, or like, then you can go back and take that data from Facebook and throw an offer at them.
Exactly. And this is why boosted posts are not recommended, because you can't collect that same data that you can with a regular ad and then retarget those people with a more direct call to action after.
Do it yourself versus hiring a professional to do this. I find there's an awful lot of us in the industry. They just... You know, we fixed cars and then we worked on the service counter. Then we became the CEO and still didn't understand what that role was. And now I have to put my marketing hat on and I got to go back to school and learn marketing. And there's great companies like yours and many others that I know that we've interviewed on the show. I seem to fall into this trap. And that is, I call up Facebook and says, oh, you know, boost this post. Well, no, I won't. Is it really wise that I try to build a marketing campaign on Facebook by myself?
What I normally say when people ask me that question is, of course you can. I mean, we're among a large group of amazing, capable entrepreneurs who can do anything they set their mind to, right? Of course you can learn it. But do you want to? Is it the best use of your time? Is your time better spent working in your business or on your business, you know? So it's just one of those questions you have to ask yourself. I think a lot of people start out DIYing it at first just to kind of try it. And those are the people that normally say, Facebook ads don't work. They actually work really, really well if you know what you're doing, if you know what the data is telling you and how to pivot and adjust when needed. But your best dollar in and dollar out is going to be from using a professional who knows what they're doing, who can invest when it's time to invest, who can turn off ads when it's time to turn them off, rather than trying it yourself. But I don't like to discourage people from trying it, because sometimes it's in the trying and possibly even failing, but they are learning at the same time the value in hiring someone to do it for them.
I love what you said. I think to let me clarify what I heard you say, I hire a professional to do this, and the professional is not just going to say, okay, we'll do some ads. We're going to have a strategy. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch this. We're going to see what we get from this branding, get to know me ad, and then we're going to try this, and this didn't work, and this didn't work. And you're going to literally, for the CEO of the business, help them realize what just happened, because so many of us is, okay, I did that next. And no one is looking. I think there is some value in looking a little behind so you can figure out where you're going up front.
all that data that Facebook provides is so valuable. It literally tells you step by step what is working in your process to draw a customer to you as they go through your funnel, which could be your website, it could be through your Facebook business page, and how to adjust to make sure that you are attracting the right people in the right way with the right message. And I like to say that you don't win or lose in marketing and advertising, you win or learn. So there's always value in the data.
Win or learn, never win or lose. Okay, we've been talking now for quite a bit of time on Facebook. Could you help put a bow on this when I say the words Google Ads?
Well, Google Ads is a great way to advertise, but it completely targets a different audience. And you have to think of the two platforms differently. And here's how I like to differentiate the two. Google is your modern day Yellow Pages. So when someone has a problem or they know that they need a solution to a problem, they will go to Google to find it. It's a direct way to solve a problem or find something that they need in the moment of their need. So a Google ad is best used for people who are in their moment of need. So you want to target them that way. Facebook is your modern day direct mail flyer online. So it is like getting your flyers in your mailbox. You may or may not need that service at the time that you get that flyer, but the advertiser is hoping that when you do have need of that service or product, that you are thinking of them. That's how Facebook is. And with regards to how you advertise on both, to me, Google, you can be a little more direct because of the way that that platform works and who's looking at that platform. But Facebook is a much more social relationship building platform. People go there not to see ads, but to build relationships. So if you think about the way you advertise on Facebook, you want it to be with that relationship building tactic in mind. You know, you want people to stop and read your ad because they are interested in the content. Maybe they're learning something, and not necessarily because they want to be hit with a call to action from a cold state. You can take someone from that cold to warm really well on Facebook, whereas Google is pretty much all cold necessarily, and you can reach people in their moment of need depending on what it is they're looking for.
So one quick question here before we button this up. I run my auto repair near me in Google, and I organically, I don't come anywhere near the top, but there are other people that have a Google ad ahead of me. I wish I was on top. So I think about how's my SEO and all the links, whatever Google can do to position me as the number one organic search. Would you then suggest that I buy a Google ad so that I could get up top?
I think with Google, if you're talking about Google ads versus Facebook ads or in tandem with each other.
No, Google as a valued yellow, modern yellow pages. Should I pay to be on top?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because there's a lot of variables there. I would say some of the biggest value in Google is all the organic reach. So investing in your own website, your blogging, your Facebook business page, your LinkedIn page, your Instagram, your Twitter, on and on and on, your Google My Business page where people have their content, they can have posts, pictures, videos, testimonials. All of that is going to bring you that relevant natural organic content for free first before running ads. I think it's a worthy investment of time to make sure your organic presence is really robust on Google before investing in ads, because ads aren't going to carry you if you're not supported with that organic content underneath your ad. So that to me is the first place to start.
Hey, this was great. I really learned a lot. Thank you for this. I'm not sure we do enough social media marketing shows because, well, it's just, it's not. I think there's a science behind it. And, you know, and thank you for being here. Christina Modesti from Mode Marketing Agency, modemarketingusa.com, and her husband, Nick Modesti, California, right?
Yep, Culver City, California.
Culver City, California. In fact, I looked it up. Nick was with me on episode 173. So glad you came on the show. Appreciate all the great advice.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.